The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2024. It is Sunday. I am broadcasting live. Oh, by the way, this is Kevin Cry. This is my show. And I am broadcasting live down here in the heart of District 1. It is it's kind of cold, actually. I'm a little surprised. I had to grab a sweatshirt out of the back of my car. But so we are 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and KCNR1460.com. It's where we're streaming. Some of you who are listening online, and all of my shows are archived at KCNR1460.com, but also they are all archived on my VoteKevinCry.com website as well. You could sign up for a newsletter that I'm kicking off this week, and it's about getting as much information out to as many people as possible. So I'm going to start with our weather, of course, that is always brought to us by my friend Mike Kruger, and that is not a paid sponsor, Weather NorCal, because I have no paid sponsors. It is my show, and I'm going to keep it that way. So here is the report from Mike Kruger, Weather NorCal. It will be drier but still cool on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-60s. There may be a few light showers, especially in the mountains on Monday before high pressure starts to build over NorCal through next week with highs near 90 by next Friday. So it sounds like it's going to be a great week weather-wise. I know the CIF is going into, I believe, league and sections here in the next 2 or 3 weeks for track. And then baseball, of course, is definitely rolling with most of the high school seasons wrapping up right here towards the end of May. So this is perfect baseball, perfect track weather before it becomes like the sun, playing on the sun, scorching us brutally. So I'm going to talk really, really briefly about the layout of the show today. We finally have Jessica from VoteBeat.org. I believe that's the website, VoteBeat.org, and I believe her last name is pronounced Houston. She came to coffee a few weeks ago, and she's out of Dallas, so we're going to have her on today. Then we're also going to tackle the second half of the show. We're going to tackle our agenda, which is very, very large. We have, I believe, regular calendar items, I want to say including closed session. It's about 17 or 18 regular items with quite a few consent calendar items, so I'll go through that. So at that time, Jessica, are you on the phone?
I am on the phone.
Jessica,
yes,
is on the phone. Well, welcome back. I am so glad we were able to reconnect. I spoke to you for like just a couple minutes. So for the listeners, Jessica, give them a background of how you came to – oh, and let me say this, too, just to give people more context, because I forget not everybody knows about this conversation. But one of the things I do every Friday is I have coffee with constituents at 8 o'clock on Athens, and that's at Kaleidoscope from 8 to 9. Sometimes we go as late as 9:30 or 10, but this particular – week that Jessica showed up, people stayed until actually like 12:30 was when the last group left. And I know, Jessica, you left sometime around 10 or 10:30. But tell the listeners how you came upon Shasta County and what brought you to coffee. And do you remember what day that was?
Oh, my gosh. I think it was the 5th, April 5th.
April 5th. So it's been about a month. Yeah. So tell the listeners where you're from, how you came to coming to coffee that day, that Friday, and then I was so just taken aback by the conversation and how open everybody was, and then of course I had to leave about an hour and a half in, and then I had so many people that were there that day. I think there was maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20, which is about normal or average. How many people said they enjoyed so thoroughly talking with you and just having an open dialogue, not just with yourself, but with everybody there from different viewpoints, different backgrounds, socioeconomic status, et cetera. So with that, tell us how you came to Shasta County.
Yeah, awesome. So I am a journalist. I run VoteBeat, and we're a nonprofit, and we cover voting and elections. But I have sort of for my entire career covered, like, gone into counties and cities that are struggling over a particular issue and tried to figure out why. So, like, 12 years ago, the very first article I wrote was about a breakdown in the Las Vegas school system and how it had just, like, completely upended their contract negotiations. So I went in and tried to figure that out. It was really fascinating. So I've just sort of been doing that for my whole career. And for the last few years, it's been focused almost entirely on voting and elections. And when Kathy announced her retirement, I wanted to do something, you know, like a small thing about her. She's been in office for a really long time, and Shasta County has made the news in a lot of ways over her tenure. And I just kind of wanted to better understand what was going on. And so I thought that going to your coffee was probably a really good way to understand the divisions in the county. I think one of the things that I was really struck by was that, you know, this county was full of people who really wanted to participate, but they all want to participate in very different ways. And it seems like there's segments of the community that don't talk to each other at all. So I had to try to figure out how to interact with each piece of that. And your Friday coffee was a really wonderful place to do that. So I'm thankful for that.
Oh, that's great. So for the listeners, Kathy Darling Allen was our clerk, our registrar of voters and our clerk for 20-something years. Her last day was Friday. So actually, and we'll talk about this later, but on our agenda, R5, we're getting a presentation from Monica Fugit, Director of Support Services, about what the recruitment process and interview process will look like for the county as this board looks to appoint our next ROV and our clerk. So with that, Jessica, so what were some of the things that, just tell us a little bit as an outsider coming here to Shasta County, did you find, issues around voting similar to what you've seen other places as well, and how is it the same, and how is it different?
Yeah, you know, I think that in Shasta County, y'all are debating a lot of the same things that counties around the country that we're covering are debating, you know, the faith and confidence in voting machines and the process for audits, that sort of thing. I think that what made it different for me in Shasta County was that, you know, in most, so there are kind of two types of counties, right? There are ones that care a lot about this and there are ones that don't. And so you really don't hear about it in the weekly meetings and everything goes as planned. And then there are counties that really take this very seriously and the meetings have sort of erupted into big controversy, like in Shasta County. And what differentiates Shasta County from these other counties is that it's small, right? Like, we're seeing huge blowups in meetings in places like Phoenix, in places like Los Angeles, in places like Philadelphia. But these are all places that, like, are so big that if you go and you scream at someone in a county commissioner's meeting or a board of supervisors meeting or whatever they're called, you're probably not going to run into them later at the bar, but you are in Shasta County. And I think that one of the things that,
well, they won't run into me at the bar unless it's Applebee's.
Well, maybe not you.
No, I'm
maybe
just kidding. You, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, I gotcha.
And so I think one of the things that was most striking is that, like, when communities that small become that divided, it can really start to impact other pieces of the community and the effectiveness by which other parts of the community work together. And I think Shasta County might be at that point, and that was really sort of striking for me to see. And, you know, I think the other thing that was striking about Shasta County is that I think voting is clearly not the only or even the biggest problem facing that county, and it happens to be what everybody is very exercised about right now. And so people are bringing their very justified anxieties about COVID and the car fire and the rocky economic situation in the county and the sort of like growing nature of Bethel Church and the housing problem and the homelessness crisis. Like all of these things are making people very anxious. And I think that is fueling an environment in which voting seems a lot more critical than it might be, just because that's what everybody wants to talk about right now. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think that it probably is. Yeah. Is more exercise than it otherwise would be.
No, I totally get that, because your vote in Shasta County, well, your vote counts everywhere, right? But mm-hmm. in my election, all my elections, I mean, going back to my primary, you know, I barely was able to force a runoff. And then, of course, in the general, I wind up winning by 90 votes. And then in the recall election, I win by 50, and it's essentially almost the same exact percentage. So every vote mm-hmm. truly does count, and I think that's what people realize. And it should. I mean, people should feel like their every single vote is counted, regardless if it's a blowout or not. So let me ask you this. So mm-hmm. – and this is, and I got to, again, Jessica, I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
Because this is actually, and there's one other journalist locally, I mean, that does, you know, online or print, let's say, and I won't say her name. I always try to not attack or not, you know, pile on too much praise, and I try and keep it pretty general. But there's one local reporter who I think does a really, 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 really tries to be very impartial and report facts. And I don't agree with everything this person writes, but at the same time, I know the individual's heart and how they got there, and I always appreciate that. So you, I will say, are the second reporter I've dealt with now in 2 years that has restored my faith to some degree in the journalistic integrity process. And I just want to tell you thank you for coming on, if I forget to say that. So thank you.
Thank you. That's so nice.
Yeah, well, and we probably don't agree ideology-wise on a lot of things, and that's where
probably not.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going to start. So when we were, and actually, just so you know, we've now moved our coffees outside of the patio area because we don't have to listen to the grinding of the beans and stuff inside anymore. So we've moved out on
nice.
The patio. But when you were there, you know, I was seated underneath the window where I usually sit, and. And I always ask people, and now I always kind of at the very beginning say, who's new? And we always have, you know, 3 to 5, maybe 6 new people. And I didn't recognize you, but then after a person leaned out of the way, because you had, you know, your legs crossed, I see you have like a notepad on your lap. I'm like, oh, this is a reporter. But I always want to ask the new people, you know, where you're from, what district, et cetera. And we didn't get off on the best, the best foot. Because your question, the question was, and maybe you could help me. I mean, basically it was, you had said Kathy Darling Allen was out on medical leave, and what, how much responsibility did I feel that it was my fault because of the stress to her heart? And at that time, I didn't even know what the medical issue was. So, mm-hmm. and my answer was very tongue-in-cheek, very sarcastic. But again, that's my sense of humor, and I'm still learning to temper that to some degree. But at the same time, I really want to be just who I am. Not that I can't improve, but I said, well, of course, you know, and after a couple back and forth, I said, well, of course, it's all my fault because I didn't, you know, encourage her to, you know, work out, eat well, exercise regularly, you know, do things that, you know, fight stress, et cetera. And then we got into this conversation about personal responsibility and how I feel like society by and large now just doesn't take any personal responsibility for anything. And then it started the dialogue. So where, because I remember you had said you felt really taken aback by my answer, and then we went back and forth. So where do you feel, you know, as we started that, where you really started to feel it was a positive experience to be there. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to go back through that. So like how were we and you able to connect with so many people in Shasta County? And it was in our coffees are rarely contentious. Really. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's,
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to have really tough conversations. And be able to say, hey, look, we're not going to agree, but we can get along. We can respect each other's opinion. And so just walk me through some of the conversations you had and what was troubling, but then what wasn't, and then what salvaged it, and what now has created a relationship that hopefully, you know, we have, you know, ongoing for years. As you want to cover other things, it may be relevant to topics across, you know, the nation or here in Shasta County. So walk me through that.
Yeah, that is a really good question. So when I came in, you know, the strategy, and let me just sort of explain to you why I asked that question first. I am a journalist, obviously, and I go to lots of different communities, right? Like tons. Like in the last 2 months, I have been to Gillespie County, Texas, Shasta County, California, wherever Denver is, whatever county that is.
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado, been to little tiny towns in New Jersey and in Maine, like in the last 2 months, right? Like this, I go to small counties and sort of like think about these things all the time. And so sometimes these counties really want me there and they really want to talk to me and they really want to explain things to me. And sometimes they kick me out immediately. And that happened to me the day before in Shasta County. And I told your folks about that. So I was walking in thinking, like, I've got one question to ask before they make me leave. And that clearly wasn't the reception I got. And so I'm thankful for that. But that is why I asked that question first. Typically, I would not have. So I acknowledge that was a bit of a...
Did you ask, and it's okay. I know he doesn't care, and I know he's probably listening. And again, people, if you take the time to get to know him, Supervisor Jones is a remarkable man. He's flawed like all of us are. Everybody's flawed. But when you get to know his heart, he has a huge heart for this county and for this country, and I'm thankful for that. But he was the one that threw you out of his business, correct?
He threw me out of a gun store. Yes. He threw me out of his gun store. And so I thought, you know,
But in fairness to him, you asked him a question that was not going to necessarily elicit a happy response, correct?
No, yeah, and so, right, exactly. And so, you know, I mean, he kicked me out, and so I was, and we didn't have a very long conversation. There were several questions I wanted to ask him that I didn't get to ask him. So I just went in with the most important one, I think, but... you know, I think that the reason that the conversation very quickly went from something that wasn't productive to something that was productive is because I think because of what I said before, right? I think that voting is a problem, obviously. It's not a problem. It's like it's a really important issue, and it should be debated at length in Shasta County, and I don't want to give a short shrift to that. But, you know, I think that Kathy in a lot of ways has become kind of a symbol for this anxiety rather than the problem herself. And so when you start talking about Kathy, people get very exercised. And when you move away from that, right, when you say, okay, well, let's put Kathy aside and talk about the way that you're treating everyone else in the county and how, you know, the treatment of Kathy has kind of spilled over into poor treatment of just basic community members who are not elected officials and who just go and speak in these meetings. And I think that became a more productive conversation. You know, I don't get the sense at all that anyone in Shasta County doesn't love being in Shasta County, right? They all really love that county for a lot of different reasons. And I think that, you know, when we can take the conversation from a specific person or a specific issue into sort of the main cause of the anxiety and anger, all of which are pretty valid problems, then I think it just becomes a more productive conversation.
Yeah, and then I know that a lot of the – so there was a gentleman, Chris, and I don't know if you remember Chris by name, but he was the gentleman, former law enforcement, lived here since 2017, and his first coffee was actually, I believe, the week before. So he hadn't been to many board meetings, hasn't been to – now I don't think he's missed a coffee now, but you guys had a – do you remember Chris, the one I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So,
he had a hat on.
Yes, he always wears a hat, and he always has, like, his aviator CHP-type sunglasses on. But, mm-hmm. you know, he – we've actually had, you know, quite a few conversations, you know, because he's – you know, he's – I would say we're very similar in the sense of where we – how we've arrived to where we are, just kind of getting involved in the local conversation of politics and said, man, like, how did we get here? And then we've kind of realized we've always kind of been here. There just hasn't been as many people paying attention. And now there's a lot more people just kind of paying attention. And that, whether you want to say it's from COVID or the economy or, you know, quality of life, et cetera, there's just more people paying attention to these political conversations. But is there what was there a part to you that as you left, you were thinking, okay, like, these conversations actually still are happening, even somewhere as what could be said as divisive as Shasta County. I mean, you know, there's been two recall elections of supervisors, one successful and one not. And I mean, and that's, you know, some counties or cities, et cetera, don't have any recalls on record. And our county has two in the last, you know, 4 years or 3 years. So, Was there one thing, that one takeaway for you, or one specific example that, you know, gives you hope that these conversations can be had?
Yeah, you know, I think that, well, I mean, I think that the general way that I was received by that group of people was really heartening, right? Because again, like, journalists, for reasons that are justified and not justified, are often not well received in places. And so, and I think that, like, that was a really open conversation. I didn't feel like there was a question I couldn't ask, and that was great. And that, frankly, is not how I felt in other places in Shasta County, and certainly wasn't how I felt in the Board of Supervisors meetings, which were very, very contentious. And so I think that, you know, the thing that made me optimistic after that meeting in a way that I hadn't been optimistic prior was that those conversations could still be had in Shasta County in a way that didn't elicit people cursing at each other or telling them that they are spawns of Satan, which are, like, things that I saw at the board meeting. And I found that really striking and really sad.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to come to a meeting and talk about the same topic. And not feel like, you know, not feel like it wasn't safe. And by not safe, I don't mean somebody's going to come and, like, punch me in the face or whatever. But I think, you know, like, everybody knows how what it means to feel safe in a hard conversation and feel like you can say what you need to say. And I don't feel like the Board of Supervisors meetings are that place, but I did feel like the coffee was that place, and that was really nice.
That's great. So let me ask you this. What did you think was the likelihood of you being able to stay or being asked to leave, or, like, knowing, coming to the coffee, knowing, because you had been in town by that point for quite a few days, correct?
Yeah, I had been in town for almost a week at that point, and then a few weeks before I had also been in town for a week. So I that by that point, that was like my 12th day.
Okay, so based on what you thought you knew about me, let's say that, what did you think was the over-under amount of time before you'd be asked to leave or anything like that? I mean, what was the...
I thought I had about 10 minutes from the time you found out I was a journalist.
That's...
to being asked to leave. And that is, and I will tell you, Kevin, that is based not entirely on my perception of you, but on, like, previous interactions I have had in my very long career doing this weird work. So, that I really thought, like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to be quiet, I'm going to listen for as long as I can, and then eventually he'll notice I'm there, and eventually he'll kick me out. And that was my goal.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave. I always leave when people kick me out.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Yeah. I had mentioned just, you know, very briefly, because I called just to make sure we had a good connection on the phone before we jumped on, because I wanted this to be as natural and as just, you know, open as any conversation would be, because I think those are the best when they're just, I don't want to say just transparent, because that word just gets thrown around so much, but I just wanted to be natural. And I told you that we've had in the last 2 weeks, three, I'm not even going to call journalists. I'm going to call one journalist and then just one person that's just, you know, whatever. But that's one thing that the Lord has commanded us to do, is to just, you know, in Matthew 18, it talks about how many times you forgive your brother. It's 70 times seven. So I'm just like, you know, I'm going to let this individual stay. Definitely not a journalist. But and again, you know, sure as the day is long, they, you know, use the opportunity just to try and sow discord in the community. But we'll move on from that. So for me, you know, I think I've been burned so many times, but we have to keep trying. And that's one thing I get a lot, I would say, from my supporters. It, you know, if I would say some of the negative comments I really get from people who are truly, I guess you'd say, quote unquote, my base, is they say, why do you keep trying to work with these people or talk to these people? Don't you get it? And it's like, you know, sure, but the minute I stop trying and trying to be a healer and trying to bring people together, it's like then I've allowed politics to change me. Now, in my personal, you know, private businesses and stuff, I can choose. We have ideal clients. There are people that we've, like, I have fired clients. I say they're not the right client. We don't need to work with them. But I really feel that we have to keep working and keep trying. And it's difficult. And I'm thankful that you came in and actually, you know, spent the time. Is there anything else that you would like to, and I'd like to have you back on, Jessica. Like, I know you're going to write this article. Now, again, right, and this is the, I'm laughing, but because now I know, because I had the LA Times come up and they shadowed me for a day, and you know, AP Press and the Gate and the Chronicle. I've had many publications come up, but I spent, you know, a good 5 or 6 hours with the LA Times during the primary. And like I told you, when they had used the words, you know, because they went door knocking with me. And when they used the words that I charged up the driveway, it's like charged up the driveway. You know, I said, why would you pick that word that I charged up the, you know, we had this talk after the article was posted. And I struggled with a lot of the language they used because it painted me in a much different way. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted them to say I sashayed up the driveway either, you know. You know, or yeah, pranced, sure. You know, I could have maybe have just strolled or walked because that's what it was. I mean, it was 120 degrees. I definitely wasn't charging anywhere. So when you write this article, and when will it post? Because I did check yesterday and it hadn't posted yet.
I don't know. So, you know, this is not a breaking news story. This is a feature story. I want this to be really well researched and really fact based. And so, and I also don't write full time. I run this organization. So I'm trying to sort of write in between helping my reporters write about their very important states as well. So this is going to be a beefy one. This is going to be like a 4,000 word story. And so I want to make sure that when I publish it, it's fair and it's totally fact based. So it will be out this month, but I can't promise you when.
Well, that will be
hard to make sure it's all above board.
That will be very refreshing. And I'll tell you, there is one local publication that I have told people that they should donate to because this individual really tries to, or I shouldn't even say try. This person does seek out facts and is open to listening. But I will put a plug in for you. And again, this is extremely rare on my show. But I'll tell people that are listening, go to votebeat.org. And however you can support Jessica and her work, I would recommend it because if we don't support reporters and true journalists, how Jessica has approached this article and these conversations, we're going to continue to get just more propaganda rags that are just meant to divide people and stoke anger and produce fear. And
you know, I would encourage you to, you know, to consider. Like, one of the things that I think that I really appreciate now that I've been in Shasta County and talking to Shasta County people for a couple of months, because, you know, I've spent hours, even though I'm not there, I've spent hours sort of engaging with the folks there since I've left. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to this because I'm also from a small place. Like, my whole family is from small places. And I think that grievances can run really deep in these small counties because, you know, somebody offends you and then you have to see them every day. And it's really difficult to get over that. And I think that, you know, in the case of somebody who's, for example, been assaulted or publicly humiliated, I think that it is incumbent upon the community around them to sort of draw them back in. And so, you know, I think that I would encourage the people who have had bad experiences to try their hardest to start afresh because, you know, these people aren't moving and these things happened and we can't take them back. Absolutely. And so, if we're not approaching things with a fresh pair of eyes, then I think these things are just going to metastasize.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jessica, it has been just you've blessed me. I know you've blessed many of my listeners. Again, that is votebeat.org. Jessica will be posting this article soon. And it won't even be an article. It'll be a small, what would you say, translated documentary, right? 4,000 words is not 4,000 words is not a small writing task. So, Jessica, do me a favor. I'm gonna call you right back. We're gonna go to break, and we'll take about a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks so much. Bye.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Hi, friends. Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Shasta High School Music Department presents their 55th annual musical, Beauty and the Beast, a story about a prince who is magically transformed into a monster and a young woman whom he imprisons in his castle in exchange for her father's freedom. To break the curse, the beast must learn to love Belle and earn her love before the last petal falls from an enchanted rose. Production dates are May 2nd through the 4th and May 9th through the 11th in Reading. This award-winning show will include famous music from a live orchestra. Reserve seating tickets are $25, and K-12 students are only $10 for our Thursday shows. For more information, call 530-341-2988 or visit ShastaHighChoir.com. That's www.ShastaHighChoir.com.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
They ban us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flags.
American flags, that is right. We are back. And Christina, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Christina, our producer, she is phenomenal. Say good morning.
Of course, good morning, and thank you so much. I really love running your shows, and really appreciate you for doing everything for this town.
Oh, well, thank you very much. No, I appreciate that, because Christina always tells me, hey, you got 10 seconds, you got 20 seconds. So she told me how much time I had. You told me how much time I had left. I really didn't hear it. I was wrapping up my phone call with Jessica, just thanking her again, and then I put my headset on, and then I heard the Beauty and the Beast. So I don't know if that was the end of a commercial or if that was maybe a lead-in's music, and I was like, oh, man. Christina's bringing me back in with a Disney song. But then,
it actually was a commercial that we just made for the event that's coming, Beauty and the Beast.
That's awesome.
But
well,
it's so beautiful.
And then we went from Beauty and the Beast to American flags. So anyway, okay, so we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, broadcasting live downtown Reading. I would encourage you to go back to votekevincry.com. You can listen to the whole thing if you're just joining now. All my shows are archived within usually about a half an hour or so, sometimes much quicker. Sometimes it may be up to an hour before it gets put on my votekevincry.com website. So with that, I am going to take some callers because I've gotten a lot of texts. And so 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We're going to jump into the agenda. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get to because that went really long. And I got to tell you, it gives me hope. Talking with Jessica, totally gives me hope that the divides here in Shasta County, but maybe even the country, could eventually be healed. But the one thing I'm really, really adamant about is getting more and more people engaged politically. And I'm not saying politically to vote, but just to understand what's going on. Now, sometimes it feels futile because I feel like I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs about what's going on in some various capacities in the county. And then yet I'll run into somebody who I've known for 20 or 30 years who has no clue of what I'm talking about. And it's not that I put stuff on my own Facebook page, but they're just not engaged. And I think, okay, I got to do a better job. So I am looking at a few different options of doing, I'm not going to say moving my radio show, but doing something more frequent, you know, a couple times a week, whether it be podcast or just Facebook Live. But we got to get the message out, man. We got to get the message out to people of what's going on, because I'm just tired of other people trying to tell the story of what's going on here. So jumping into our agenda, you'll see here presentation R3, R1 and R2. Those are support services, appreciation day, as well as honoring our employee of the month for May. But R3, we're going to receive a presentation from the Health and Human Services Agency Director, who is Laura Birch. The Assistant Director, maybe Christy Coleman, may or may not come in, I'm not sure, and be a part of that. But we're having a presentation about the NorCal Continuum of Care, also called the COC. This is sponsored by myself. I asked to bring this forward and have this presentation made because I think there's a huge disconnect with the public of what's gone on with the COC in the past year, the money that's being spent by the COC, the AHAP dollars, what the city of Reading is doing now that they've taken it over. And, you know, I really want to bring more attention and eyes to this, because when I ran back in 22, my whole platform was about crime, homelessness, mental health. That's the first thing. And the second thing really was about kids, making the community safer and a place where kids had the best opportunity to lead the most positive, life-giving life here in Shasta County. And I got to spend very, very little time in 23 towards a lot of that stuff because I was running another campaign. And now I really realize that was all by design, because some of the things you have to do is to understand where you want to go, you have to see where you've been. And I always try and build things backwards. So I know where I want to end up, and then we reverse engineer the strategy to get there. So now I realize when you start talking about going after the money and looking how it's being spent, that's when people freaked out. That's when my opponents freaked out, is because the audits that we've been doing and that are coming are extremely telling. And this is where we're going to start to jump into really getting the work done and pulling the curtain back on what's happened in Shasta County and in Shasta County government the last few years, and why we're in some of the situations we're in. With the budget meetings coming starting June 4th, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions asked. And these are questions that I'm trying to get to all the department heads myself personally about things that I want to know that I've been made aware by current employees, former employees, people that have been around the community for years. And the best conversations are when people say, hey, we're already looking into that, or we already found out about this, here's how we're moving, here's what we're doing, and that's great. And whereas others get really defensive when you start talking about, well, why did this get spent here, or how did this person get hired there? And so the continuum of care, the amount of money that flows, I mean, HHSA are the county's, the HHSA department's budget is ballpark $300 million. That is a lot of money. That is a lot of money. And let's not forget, the incorporated cities get money as well for that. And so I want to understand, and I have been understanding, why certain situations are not only not improving or staying the same, they're getting far worse. So when you start looking at how that money's being spent and why it's being spent and what are the viable or what are the verifiable true outcomes of that, you just have to ask the questions. And one of the people that's been very, very helpful in a lot of this is Noel DeShort for me. She's our auditor controller. Again, like I've said many times, she's my favorite elected official, myself included, in Shasta County, because when I go to NOLDA, and I've said this a bunch, but I have to say it again in case this is your first time listening, is I will go to her and I'll say, hey, I have this question, and she'll not just give me the answer, but she'll say, by the way you're asking, I think this is what you're asking or what you're looking for. And it's so refreshing when you have some, and she's, and keep in mind, she's an elected official, so she's not like a department head, because some department heads or some people will give you exactly what you've asked for, but they know that that's not what you're asking, but they're giving you the information because it'll take me weeks to figure out that I didn't ask the question correctly. And this is just about the public accountability, and this is just about everybody knowing why we are in the situations we're in. So R3, the COC presentation, that was coming forth. Now, here's where it just gets really comical. Well, I don't even want to say comical, but it's just, I just shake my head. The COC called an emergency meeting for Monday, tomorrow, and they put out not a press release, but they put out an email saying, hey, everybody, we got to rally the troops because this is what the Board of Supervisors is doing. So they called an emergency meeting for Monday at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to ask people, if you really want to know, and this isn't about, and I just want the public to get involved and listen and understand of what's like truly going on, in the sense that say, you know, this says, hey, just make up your own mind. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen as if I'm the judge, jury, and executioner of all this stuff. This is just about all of us understanding, you know, why we're in the situation we're in. So they called an emergency meeting tomorrow to put, I believe in their email it said they're putting in a, you know, they want to put a letter together. And I don't know necessarily what the letter's about or why they're doing it. I think basically it's just they want to have some kind of meeting. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell you what it's for, but it's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. If you want to go to it, I don't know where. I believe it's at next to the planetarium at the Shasta County Office of Education building. I believe it's there at 1 o'clock. But if you want, you can email me kevin@votekevincry.com, and or you could always email me at the at my county supervisor email as well, which is kcry@shastacounty.gov, and I will get you the information of where and officially what time that meeting is. I believe it's at 1 o'clock tomorrow, but they're going to have a meeting, and there's public comment. And, again, we're going to get this community really talking about how this money's being spent, how Shasta County doesn't have a seat on the executive board, and why we don't have a seat on the executive board, and who's making those decisions. And so we're going to have that presentation. R4 is our legislative update, and we're just we do that every meeting. We've moved out to the front, as I've said, because it gives everybody a chance to know what's been going on the past week before moving forward. R5, this is one, and again, when I put this agenda together, it was really about what could we fit at the beginning of the meeting before public comment, because I've really tried to get about an hour to 90 minutes, and sometimes it goes close to 2 hours, but how can we get a lot packed in to the very beginning of a meeting? So if a person says, hey, I'm going to go in late to work on Tuesdays, I'm going to be at work by 11. So if they come from 9 to 10:30, 9 to 10:45, they're going to get a lot of important county issues, you know, under their belt that they can be there in person for, and it not just be you know, public comment or proclamations about, you know, various things that maybe the whole community doesn't necessarily, I don't want to say care about, but it's just not at the top of their list. So I put support services R5 up. Originally, I think it was going to be maybe R8 or 9. I don't remember exactly. But what this item is, it says, consider options related to the vacancy of the county clerk / registrar of voters position and consider providing direction to staff. So Monica Fugit, the HR director or support services, she's going to make a presentation about the recruiting process, about the legal statutes around an elected office being vacated, what the responsibilities of the Board of Supervisors is. One of the things, too, about it, when you look at the code, you know, it says reasonable time to make that appointment. So some people have emailed in and said, you know, please appoint so-and-so at this. It's like, no, that's not what we're doing on Tuesday. We're not appointing anybody. We're going to let the public know what the process is going to be. And I would love to see a really great vetting process and then, first rounds of interviews. And then we take the finalists and we do that publicly. Now, here's the drawback. You'll get some people who would want to scream out from the audience and make that unprofessional. So I will tell everybody now that's listening, if our board meetings can continue to calm down without a couple disruptors, then I would be very supportive in having a very public interview of the top three candidates. Or, I don't want to say top two. I would say probably top three. But again, I'm one vote. We'll have to see what the other supervisors feel about that. I would hope that we would get a lot of applicants because it's a very important job. It pays very well. And it's going to be to fill out the term of Kathy Darling Allen, who was going to be, I believe that term ends in 2026. So it's through January 1st of 2027. So it's a guaranteed gig for over a couple years before it goes to election. Truth be told, I'd love to just do an election and then do it that way. But that's not probably where we're going to be because of the timing of a November election and a presidential election. It's just too important. So, and I don't even think we can actually. I think it's in our state. And because right now we're a general law, we're not a charter yet, and it's not even in our charter going forward, but we don't get to, our current charter is just for the Board of Supervisors, not for elected officials. But that's actually something that we've talked about. When I say we, just at coffee, making every elected position where if it's vacated, it goes to an election. And I would support that. Okay. So that's our five. We have public comment after that. There's quite a few items on the consent calendar. There's 10. You'll see one. It says there's a 4/5 vote on C9. You might want to read up on that a little bit. But going to the regular calendar again, I would we have a lot of closed session items. I think the closed session is estimated to take, I want to say, an hour and 45. It says on the agenda hour 45. It may be 2 hours. So we'll break somewhere between 11:30 and 11:45. I want to make sure that we set a time that when we're going to start again after the break. That way people can get back for the remaining items of, R6 through R11. R6, I moved up, and this is just, it says approve an amendment to the Board of Supervisors 2024 meeting calendar. This is sponsored by myself. One of the promises I made, again, when I became chair, it was important to me that, I really felt like, we need to meet every week. I mean, we're paid to be there. I think there's plenty going on where we should. This isn't supposed to be a part-time gig, although many supervisors historically, have treated it that way. But you meet every week, and I know in the past they definitely did. And I know the budget meetings, took, a week or more, 20 years ago, and that's with a much smaller budget. So I know that R6 for me is a promise kept because I told the staff when I first set the calendar out, I said, hey, look, after the first quarter, if we can prove that we're getting things moving and we're getting things moving at a clip that I think, is positive, I would look at, taking a couple of meetings out. So, kudos to the staff, clerk of the board, and others. We looked at a couple of dates. So we're taking a couple of dates out in July and August. So we have that. Also, we're going to be moving the May 21st meeting to a night meeting. So that was scheduled for a 9 a.m. meeting. The last, I believe April 30th was supposed to be a night meeting, but the agenda was so light, I really felt like that did the exact opposite of what I was trying to do by doing night meetings. I wanted to have night meetings so we would be able to have more public engagement. Doesn't mean it had to be a big agenda. Let's just put one or two, I don't want to say controversial topics on it, but let's have one or two really meaty, a lot of substance in those so people can come and just, get a chance to partake in a night meeting. So because the 30th was so lean and it felt just like it was more symbolic, like, hey, we've had a night meeting, but there was really nothing on it. So I moved that to a day meeting, and now the 21st we'll have, one or two really good items on that meeting. Now, on the 14th, sorry, I am going outside this, but on the 14th we will have the DA's office is making a presentation on the couple items I brought up. a couple of meetings ago, so those will be on the 14th. Okay, so R6. I put R6 there with the calendar because that gives a buffer. So if people wind up coming back from lunch and they're running a little bit late, I wanted them to have one item before we got to the raises, and I can't believe I'm almost out of time. So Supervisor Jones brought this item back. Supervisor Garman, I believe, was the one that sponsored it before, so this continues that conversation. I've made it pretty well known about how I feel about these. I think the positions themselves are severely underpaid. You know, I will be voting no as it's written, but I would say that the car allowance, I mean, like for me in District 1, you know, I can get across my district basically in 10 to 12 minutes, but you have someone like Supervisor Rickert, Supervisor Jones, Supervisor Kellstrom. I mean, they can get across their district in, you know, I think Supervisor Rickert and Supervisor Kellstrom both can be in the car for over 2 hours going from, you know, one point to another, getting across their district. So, in that R7, there is, a vehicle stipend, which, you know, so there's parts of that I support, but for me, it's just a non-starter, in the sense that, and here's what it is. This is really what it comes down to. I don't want to sit up there and get, beat up for 2 years as if, I did this for the money. Cause I thought, when I decided to run, I thought it was volunteer. And that just shows you how ignorant I was about it. I just saw a big, big problem and I wanted to jump in and fix it cause I knew I could. And I believe we are. I believe this board majority, we are doing things that is really moving the needle. I'd love to spend more time on that, but I want to get to R11 really quick. And Christine, how much longer do I have? 3 minutes. Okay, I'm doing pretty good. So R7 and R8, those are around raises and compensation. And the Board of Supervisors hasn't had a cost of living or any bump in over 20 years. And actually, it took a pay cut, I believe, of 2% in 2006. So, but again, that's it, where it is in the meeting, because that should give the most public the best opportunity to get there for that conversation. So R11, under Public Works, receive a presentation on traffic impact fees and direct staff to return to the board with actions to suspend resolutions 91-115 and 2006-83 and ordinance 645, thus suspending all TIFs or traffic impact fees. I think this is a really important one. Well, they're all important, but and again, this one was at the spot it's in at the end of the meeting, essentially, because it's really important to me that Troy Bartolome, well, and any of the department heads, they're able to have their day without having to sit in a meeting for a really, really long time. So this way he knows, you know, he's not coming over until probably 1:30, well, actually, no, probably 2:30, 3 o'clock, and it gives him more time. But one of the things we've asked all departments to do, and Nolda Short is leading this, I believe, but is looking at all the different fees that we charge as a county and see, are they A, constitutional, how they're affected by the recent Supreme Court decision about impact fees, and making sure they're not illegal taxes, or making sure they're not an illegal tax. And so Troy's going to do a presentation. I read the staff report, I have more questions, because one thing we don't want to do is I, because I am one vote. I don't want to do something that hurts the general public to benefit one or two people. But at the same time, anything we can do to make this county more affordable, and not just nickel and dime people, I am absolutely for. Anything that's pro business, anything that's pro homeowner, anything that's pro growth, I think we have to support. We have to do things to make it, easier to live, and not just to live, but to thrive in Shasta County. So the presentation Troy's going to make, just looking from the staff report, looks like they've arrived at a decision, and now it just comes down to having this board discussion to see if this is a direction we want to go. So what I'm going to close with is and do me a favor, Christina, hit the light for me when I've got 30 seconds so I know. But I want to close with, again, the coffee that I do every Friday. I want to encourage people that if you want to come out and have a conversation. I'm going to encourage people to do that. But at the same time, what's really important to me is people that they don't use it for an agenda to divide this county. Because the one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to tolerate people trying to divide this county and make people fight, because I'm just not interested in that. I'm interested in people coming together. I'm interested in people solving problems collectively. And I'm going to do the best job I can to educate as many people as possible about what's going on here in Shasta County. Man, I can't believe this hour is already over. I appreciate all of you who listen faithfully. We'll be back here in 2 weeks. Come to the Board of Supervisors meeting Tuesday.